Welcome to Leaders in Sustainability, a podcast series by Trianon Scientific Communication.
Good afternoon. You're here with Audrey.
And Marcus.
And we are the podcast of Trianon Scientific Communication, which is the season two of Leader in Sustainability. And today we have the pleasure to welcome Ilse Noppen. Hello, Ilse.
Hi, Audrey. Hi, Marcus. Thanks for having me.
She's a career fulfillment and leadership coach, and she works with individuals and within company. And for this season, which is focused more on social sustainability, we thought that will be a great added value to our speakers. So, Ilse, let's start with you. What is your background?
My background is in HR consulting. And let me actually tell you a bit about my story. When I had to make my choice in terms of what to study, right? I made my choice based on interest, not with the knowledge of my talents or what I really wanted to do. And so when I then started later as an HR consultant, I realized that I wasn't the only one who had made choices like that without really knowing what I was really good at and what drove me. As a matter of fact, I think a lot, if not most of the people, make choices like that. So that also perturbed me because I thought, it's not the best way, right? So how to help is then the question. And it took me a while. And actually, I then moved to Portugal because we wanted to kind of make a change in life. And that question about how to help people discover their talents popped up again. And that's what really started my coaching journey. I then did a certification, an assessment tool, which helps people discover their talents, which is absolutely fabulous. With that, I thought I was going to change the world, but then I realized that it's much more tough to then, even when you know your talents, to make a change. So that's how I then did a coaching certification, and that really launched my coaching business.
Yeah, so it's a very interesting name, which is True North Consulting. It goes very well with finding who you are. So to make the link, so we know that you work with a company and also with individuals. Do you think that these two practices are complementary? And could you make the link between leadership and self-leadership in these two ways of practicing coaching?
Yeah, nice question. Thank you. Indeed, in companies, of course, when I coach there is much more the question, very specific questions that the company and N plus one of the coachee wants to see addressed. And it's usually around leadership, but it can also be self-confidence. So that's where we then also touch on self-leadership. But let's say that it's more in the broad sense of leadership. While indeed, when I have individual clients coming to me, it's true that it's more very open question about, I'm not sure about what I really want. Who am I really? I feel disconnected with myself. And there is that much more, I would call it openness and bluntness, like that's really what I need. And in companies, it very often comes up also, but maybe more indirectly.
In fact, self-leadership was a quality that was undervalued before. But during COVID, we can see how many people, whatever is the rank in a company, feel that they are in transition, that they don't have clarity on what they want or what they do, etc. Do you think that it's a new trend? Did you see it before COVID? Have you seen change during COVID? And knowing that you work internationally, do you see difference around culture or countries?
Yeah, COVID has accentuated that. I think people, obviously, by working from home, felt much more confronted with themselves and also within their leadership with specific needs, which is usually connection. And connection is also about, who am I and how do I connect with people? The question about how are you, the small talk, which people used to have at offices, which was usually also much more superficial. Now there is an active effort that leaders have to make to connect with their teams or colleagues, right? And, a simple how are you is not enough. They have to go deeper, be more curious about the person. So that's definitely been a challenge in many of the leaders I've coached. And generally, indeed, this question about what do I really want? Do I want to stay with this company? Do I want something else? Do I want a new role within this company? What exactly is missing? Because I feel something is missing, but I can't figure out what. So I think that COVID has indeed, I would like to summarize it in emphasize the need of connection, being connection with others, but also connection to oneself. That is definitely something that is very strong. And I indeed coach with people, different continents. And I feel that it's a general need. I can't say one culture less than the other, but it's really something that I think is pretty much for everyone a reality, a real need.
I'll come back later and link that with mental health of employee, but I will let my colleague, Marcus, ask a couple of questions now.
Okay. Well, great. Really just one question. Making employees feel better at work is one thing. I mean, there are companies who think that putting up a basket with a couple of apples is enough. However, it of course doesn't mean much if the company culture doesn't match or mirror that. How do you go about addressing that?
Yeah, that's a big question, right? Company culture. And it indeed starts with the leaders. And one of the things that I work a lot around, and especially since COVID really, is mental fitness. And mental fitness is about the capacity to handle life's challenges with a positive mindset rather than getting upset or stressed. And what it does is that program really helps people develop those mental muscles to feel better with themselves and therefore also with others. So they produce better results. They also have better relationships. What it does is that it also creates a different type of leadership, a leadership where they realize how their current leadership is inflicting or having what kind of negative aspects it's having on their teams. And therefore they question themselves and become much more caring and understanding of their team members. And what I also see is that they therefore become more sensitive to who is in front of them really. It's not about the person doing a job, but it's more, who is this person? What does this person need? What are their motivations? What are their intrinsic motivations? What do they need to perform well? Is it more autonomy? Is it maybe less? Because not everybody likes autonomy, I believe. Some need a bit more of a framework to work in. So for me, it's really, well-being is about being attentive to what people need. I realize, it's not all the same for everyone. And it is indeed not just about eating apples, though, health is also important. There's much more. There is that mental health. There is the way they want to function. All these things are very important and they create indeed a culture. Okay. For instance, also, how do we go around failure? To give you a concrete example, what we learn with mental fitness is that failures are actually a way to learn, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. To develop our knowledge, to maybe develop certain ways of handling things. So how does a company look at failures? Is it, okay, the ideal ways, of course, to avoid it. However, when it happens, how do we deal with that? Mm-hmm. And that is a very important element also in a culture, in a company culture. How do we deal with failures?
When you talk about mental fitness like this, I think of what we call often adaptive leadership. Those leaders that are able to adapt to change easily and make their team adapt to it because of this mental fitness, actually. And that is very linked to one of the pillars of social sustainability that we call responsible leadership. Okay. Mm-hmm. So in responsible leadership, this pillar, this point that were underlooked before, and now that start to be at the forefront. And in them, there is a stakeholder inclusion, so making sure that your stakeholder are included in your decision. There's emotion and intuition, that was something that nobody was talking about before. And of course, mission and purpose. The last one that I like very much is critical thinking. So how do you see yourself helping to have those elements be part of what should be responsible leadership in companies? Do you see that one of these elements becoming bigger? Do you see that people actually understand that all those elements are important for a better company culture, we were saying?
Yeah, absolutely, right? I mean, it would be hard to really choose from those ones. I think all of them really add to a more interesting company culture and also therefore performance. If people feel why they are where they are in terms of what is the mission of the company and how they can add value, if they are allowed to look at being critical in how to approach a project, if they are allowed to sometimes use their intuition, sometimes where our society is so rational, it's always about how we think but never about how we feel, and intuition comes from our feeling, right? It's not something rational. You can't describe intuition. Sometimes we just get ideas which are coming intuitively and we can't explain why. And CEOs, just Jeff Bezos, values intuition very much. Steve Jobs did also. So intuition has a place, and I love that. I would love to see leaders feeling confident about, being good with, feeling good with intuition too. Mm-hmm. So that definitely, that responsible leadership, as you call it, it has a place, and it's high time to indeed look at that much more. And what I also like is the inclusion. Inclusion means seeing people for, with their talents, right? Their strengths, and, looking at their strengths and how to, not use in the wrong sense, but let them use their strengths so that they feel good and they will contribute much better, etc. So, yeah, there is a lot of room for improvement.
It's what you call in one of your articles, led your team through talent development.
Yes, indeed. Absolutely.
Yeah. So I would let Marcus ask you the last question.
Our traditional magic wand question. If you had a magic wand, what would you do with it in the next 3 to 5 years?
The magic wand question. What would I like to see as a change in the coming 3 to 5 years? For me, I come back to very much the strengths, but I do believe that when people are working with their strengths, when they feel aligned with who they are, and that also includes, of course, their values, when we feel aligned, we are really ready to give the best of ourselves. And I believe that if everyone would, now that's maybe more than three to five years, but my ideal world is that people really feel much more aligned, and that will open up so many possibilities, both for themselves and for others that they are working with. So that would be seeing a bit more of that responsible leadership becoming a reality. But that would be a great thing to see happen.
Well, I think we can agree with that.
We can definitely agree with that.
Well, that leaves us just to say thank you very much for your enlightening insights.
Yeah, that was super interesting. And
thank you for having me. Great. Thank you very much, Marcus. Thank you, Audrey.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Leaders in Sustainability, a podcast series by Trianon Scientific Communication. If you would like to know more about sustainable development and or corporate social responsibility, please visit www.science-by-trianon.com, where you will find our blog and contact details, and where you can subscribe to our newsletter.